So,
yeah. You can? Yeah. Right. Sorry. Who knows what we've been talking about this month? Sorry? Walking 100 kilometres. Yes, we have been talking about that, but we've been talking about something else this month, and it is building one another up. This month we're going to be looking at building one another up, and today we're going to be looking at one aspect of building one another up. But first, I want to ask you some serious questions. The first question is, does my hair look good? Yes. Got a couple of yes. Serious? Yes? X. I'm so pleased. Do you think I need to lose a bit of weight? No. I was looking in the mirror this morning and I was thinking, I'm getting old. Do you think I'm getting old? Yeah. And a very serious question, that I need you to be brutally honest about. Does my bum look big in this? How many people have been asked those sort of questions by other people? What do you say? How do you answer? Do you answer truthfully? Or do you answer? Do you answer truthfully? Or do you answer politely? Kindly. For most men, we go to school and we learn this in classes. There are classes that actually say if a woman says, "Am I fat?" the answer is no. You don't look up, you don't say anything, you don't breathe, it's no. It's a reflex. Does my bum look big in it? No. Absolutely, we learn that when we're very young. So we're going to be looking at, if my thingy will work, speaking the truth in love. What does it mean to speak the truth? We're talking about four very silly questions. But what does it mean to speak the truth in love? The main focus this month has been building one another up. Mick started with loving one another. Loving one another in Christ. Samuel spoke last week. Who was here for Samuel's talk? Who thought it was great? He's a new speaker. He is so good. And he spoke about encouraging one another. And this week I'm going to be looking at speaking the truth in love from Ephesians chapter 4 and Corinthians chapter 4. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, please turn them now. They will be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4. If you want to go away and read something today, if you want a bit of homework, go and read chapter 4. The whole of chapter 4. It is amazing. The NIV entitles it Unity and Maturity in the Body. And I don't think they mean old bodies, but maturity in Christ. Maturity in the body of Christ. It has great instructions for all Christians. It starts off with this: I urge you to live lives worthy of your calling. We all have a calling, and we're meant to live lives worthy of our calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Now, obviously, I still need to work on gentle, but I've got humility down. Be patient. Bearing with one another. I'm pleased people are laughing. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. And then this one, this is lovely. Christ equips his people, that's me and you. He equips his people for every work of service so that the body may be built up. And then we get on to verse 15 that says this. Speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. These instructions are meant for Christians talking to non-Christians. This is not an excuse to start berating other Christians. It's speaking the truth in love. If you're speaking to a non-Christian, it's a different thing because non-Christians have different goals, different moralities. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says this: Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Don't you think that's a great way of talking a non-Christian, an outsider? It's almost a bit derogatory, but it's outside the people that were meeting up regularly together. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace. Is this sounding like you? Because it's not always like me. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of our conversation, not just people from the church, but outside the church, where our conversation was seasoned with salt. I started this talk by asking, did my hair look good? And I had some very enthusiastic yeses, and I was quite surprised. Were you quite surprised, Steve?
Yeah.
You should have been asking that question, because that would have been even better. But people said yes. Was it wrong? Because, come on, let's face it, it doesn't look good. It's just there. It barely sticks on. Is it okay to tell the occasional white lie? Is it okay to lie as long as you're making people feel good about themselves? What does it mean to speak the truth in love? Can you imagine going to a doctor and paying for one of these really fancy health checks? Where you go and you spend hours, they put pipes on your mouth, they ask you to do the treadmill and all of these sort of things, and they test you, they put the little gauge on to see if you're fat. And at the end of this 4-hour test, they say that you are a magnificent specimen. You are a magnificent physical specimen, and I've never seen anyone as healthy and as fit as you. You have the body of an athlete. And the only reason why I say that is because this is what happened to me last week. As you leave the doctor, you open the door and it's, oh, you walk up 3 stairs, you faint, you have an asthma attack, and you crack your ankle because you've got weak bones. You go back to the doctor and say, this has all happened to me. And he went, well, yeah, I knew that there was a lot of problems with you, but I thought I'd tell you the nice things just to make you feel better. How would you feel about that? Who'd sue them? When we go to a doctor, we want an honest opinion. We want an honest opinion about our physical bodies. So as Christians, speaking to other Christians, we want an honest opinion about our spiritual bodies. We want people to tell us if they see something wrong in us. And I stand here very vulnerably and say, if you see anything in me that you think is wrong, I want you to tell me, because I need to know that I can change. And if this is true for us, then we should expect other Christians to speak the truth in love to us about ourselves. But the first thing I'm going to look at on speaking the truth in love is speak. Words are powerful. Words are really powerful. If you look at the Bible, just in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light, and there was light. The power of his word. He could have waved his hand over. He could have used a wand. Not that that would be God. He could have just thought it, but he didn't. He spoke. Let there be, and there was. He spoke it. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Hebrews 4. The word of God. Speaking things out. When we are told a number of times within the New Testament, whatever you ask for in my name, the Father will give you. That's John 15 is the main example of that. The Bible tells us throughout the whole Bible that we need to speak with other people. Jesus very rarely went away and was in a solitary place. He used to go and talk with people. He used to teach them. He used to guide them. And he used to talk to them. We need to speak out. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. But James gives us a warning about words. Words are powerful. But words can also hurt. You're not good enough. You're never going to be as good as your brother. You're not going to amount to anything. These are phrases that have really hurt people and still hurt people now. Words can hurt. In Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light." In Genesis 3, the devil starts speaking to Adam and Eve and breaking down the relationship between man and God. Words can hurt. We need to be careful with what we say and who we say it to. Most people, if you hang around non-Christians, will be around people that gossip, will be around people that swear, will be around people that say dirty jokes occasionally. Well, what do we do about that? Do we say anything? Do we just smile and agree? Do we join in? Or do we make a stand and say, no, I don't want to listen to the gossip and walk away? Do we make a stand? I've said this before, I was in a place where there were 15 people in an office, and the amount of times you heard the name Jesus Christ being used in a blasphemy was awful. And one of them was by a Muslim. And one day when he said Jesus Christ in that horrible way that makes your hair stand up in the back of your neck, I said to him, why don't you call on Allah? And he just looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, well, you've just used my God's name. Why don't you use your God's name? And he went, I hadn't thought of it like that. Within a month, there was no one saying that in the whole of the office. I stood up for what was right, knowing that I could have been ridiculed. I could have been beaten down. I could have lost friends. But instead, I spoke the truth in love to that person, and it changed. Words are powerful, but words can hurt. Thirdly, words reveal who we truly are. This is scary. This to me is the scary bit. Words reveal who we truly are. Luke 6:45 says this, a good man brings out good things out of the stores in his heart. And then it goes on to say, for what the mouth speaks, the heart is full of. How many people have said something quickly out of, just really quickly, where someone's done something or someone's cut you up in a car or someone's kicked you? What comes out of your mouth is what your heart's full of. What are we filling our hearts with? The Bible is always a wonderful place to start. You can't go wrong if you start with the Bible. And what does the Bible say? That our heart is where we store up the things of our treasures. If we read the Bible, if we constantly are in the Bible, that will be what comes out of our mouth. So when we speak the truth in love, we have to be careful. And when we're being careful, we always need wisdom. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, then you should ask God, who gives in abundance without finding fault, to all those who ask. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We are told that we need to speak what the Bible says. If our hearts are filled with scripture, if we keep filling our hearts with scripture and not the rubbish of this world, our conversation, as Colossians says, will be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we would have an answer for everyone. But remember, this whole month is about building one another up. I'm not saying that we all need to go to someone that we don't like and tell them what we really think of them. That's not what it's about. It's about building someone up in love by encouraging by helping, by training, and by teaching. As we speak the truth in love. So what is truth? What is truth? The first thing about truth is going to sound quite obvious. The truth is true. The truth is true. It may sound obvious, but it is getting unclear what true is nowadays. We are often taught Bible truths, and society teaches us other truths that normally are completely the reverse of what the Bible teaches. So what is true? The Bible was okay when it was written, but society has moved on, so we just need to change a few things. Is that right? Or is the Bible true? The Bible is our truth. And if society says that there's something true that's not of the Bible, then it's wrong. And we need to remember that. James 1:22 says this, that we need to be people that are not merely listeners of the word, but doers of it. The Bible is true, and if we do anything outside of that, that society teaches us is right, then it's wrong. Truth is absolute and unchanging. Lines are being blurred, boundaries are being changed. We are told one thing and in a month's time it changes. Very recently, sexuality, morality, marriage, radicalization, these words have changed from what they used to be something completely different. The boundaries are moving faster and faster and further away from what the Bible teaches. And we need to remember what is truth. I remember a time, and I don't even believe I'm saying this in church, but I remember a time when the sight of naked flesh was quite unusual, where you wouldn't see it on telly. Now it's everywhere. Not just on telly, but you can drive past it on billboards in the streets. Half-naked women advertising a bra was never around when I was growing up. Morality is changing, and we are told as society that this is normal and we need to keep up with society. The Bible is right. The Bible is true. The next thing about truth, it brings freedom. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Human rights and political correctness have given us so much freedom we don't know what to do with it. You're practically free to murder someone if it doesn't go against their human rights. It is getting mad. And this is what we are being told is right. Freedom means knowing boundaries, knowing where we should stop. Who has boundaries for their children? Who slaps their children when they're about to put their hand in a fire? You have boundaries. You know what a boundary needs to be. Imagine a game with no rules. Who would know who scored? Who would know who was offside? Who would know who won without rules? It's the same in our life. We need boundaries. We need rules. And the Bible are those rules. And when we see our brother in trouble, we should speak the truth in love. But the final word on that phrase is important, that we do it in love. Not do it out of spite, not do it because we can. We do it because we love our brother. Do we love each other enough to speak the truth to them? We are called to build one another up. We are called to challenge and encourage one another. We are called to correct, teach, and train one another. We are called to speak the truth to one another. And we are called to love one another as God loves us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, nobody likes to be told that they're doing something wrong. We see it in your word. We see it when you were speaking to Simon, when you were speaking to your disciples, that correction is sometimes so important to help us grow, to help us change, to help us be more like you. Help us, Lord God, to accept correction, to accept when people say to us, you shouldn't really be doing that, and to be bold enough to say it to them. Help us to live lives that non-Christians will see is different, as we don't comply to the patterns of this world, as we do not conform to what people say is right, but we stick with what you have said is right. Make us more like Jesus Christ. Amen. Our service will end in worship, and once our next song is over, there will be a time in Refresh where we can have teas and coffees. As we thank you, Lord, that we are in your hands, that everything is in your control. Let's say the grace together as we close our service. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you all.